Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
One of the issues with our team right now is mental toughness, discipline, and execution.
Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Unconquered Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jason Staples, here to preview the Boston College-Florida State game. A game where, actually, Florida State is not slated to be outclassed for the first time in a little while, so that should be interesting. So there are a few things I want to get to here in terms of preview, and also in terms of some questions. A couple questions were asked in the wake of the last mailbag. A few things I'm going to leave until the next podcast, but I do want to answer one right up front before I get to the rest of the podcast, and that is specifically I got a really good question here that said, you know, on the last podcast you described the current coverage technique, which makes complete sense, and specifically for those of you who didn't get to listen to that one. This has to do with why defensive backs don't turn their head when they're out of phase in coverage. So if you're not on the guy's hip or in front of the guy, you can't turn back and look for the ball because you're going to get beat. You instead train that player to run to the center of the body of the receiver, and you try to do this without running into the receiver. So you have to do it under control. And then you play through the hands. You punch through the hands in uppercut fashion. Wherever the guy puts his hands, you take your fist and you just punch it right through there, and you try to rip and make sure that the ball comes out. Which, by the way, Florida State's safeties, they did pretty well in terms of running to the hands, but then they tried to swat instead of uppercutting through the ball, and that's one of the problems. So the question was, you describe the current coverage technique, which makes complete sense. It's very clear, however, that ACC referees will call pass interference if there's any contact between the DB and the receiver when the DB's head is not turned. Doesn't this mean you have to change how you teach coverage technique? And that's a great question, because on the one hand, yeah, it would seem like it that, you know, well, you're going to get called for pass interference when you make that contact and the head doesn't turn, since, you know, they're looking to see whether you're looking for the ball. But on the flip side, the reason that nobody coaches it to look back when you're not in phase is it's still better to get called pass interference than to give up a touchdown. And if you turn back to look for the ball, you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat. It's not only going to be pass interference, you're going to lose track of the receiver. I as a receiver used to, and I train my receivers now, to what you do is you widen your eyes real quick. If you've got a guy that's out of phase or he's looking at you, looking to see when the ball's coming, you learn to widen your eyes and give the expression that you get when you know that the ball's coming, so that an undisciplined corner is going to start to, you know, if that guy looks for the ball, then you can go to where the ball's actually going to be. You show hands here and widen and make them run to that, and then you draw the contact, and then you get to where the ball's going to be. You learn to do that stuff partly to take advantage of that. And then also, you know, try going out there with somebody and doing this where you're running a little bit behind him, and then you're going to try to turn around and find the ball, and notice how you're going to lose more ground because turning slows you down just slightly. And so if the ball's thrown reasonably well, that guy's just going to run right by you then. You're not going to find the ball on time, because you can't look until he looks. You don't know that the ball's coming. And once he looks, once it looks like the ball's coming, it's too late. By the time you look and find it, he's already found it. So you can't teach it another way. And this is how everybody from Nick Saban and Bill Belichick on down teach their corners to cover. And if anybody's teaching otherwise, they're teaching it wrong. So this is one of the frustrating things, one of the most infuriating things about watching a lot of these commentators, is that they're always talking about, well, you know, you got to get your head around, you know, he didn't get his head around. So no, it's not about not getting the head around. It really isn't. Those guys just don't know how it's coached as a rule. Very rarely do guys get this right. So that's number one. And I think that'll probably be the only question that I'll cover today that's come in. I know a few others have come in, and I'll try to address those at a later time when it's not focused, when we're not focusing primarily on the next game. And you'll have to pardon my voice is in and out right now. I've been coaching myself, my own team, and you know, when you're shouting enough, sometimes the voice goes in and out. So that is what it is. Anyhow, let's go ahead and get to the preview itself. And as I said at the very beginning here, this is a game Florida State can win. Boston College has been good. They've been competitive all year, and they are, it's a quality football team. It's a well-coached team, which might be a problem. But they're not more talented than Florida State. Florida State can match up with them. They do have some quality on both lines. They have arguably the best running back in the ACC. I think you could probably go ETN from Clemson. There are a couple others that you can put in the discussion, but Dylan is certainly a really good back. Now, there's some question as to how healthy he is, but you know, this has been a team that's been up and down all year, and depending on how they play, Florida State could end up winning this game, or they could end up, I think it's a 2-point spread. I think that's fair. You look at this, I mean, Boston College, 41-34 over Wake Forest. That's the same Wake Forest team Florida State embarrassed. Boston College lost 30-13 at Purdue. Now, that's a pretty good Purdue team, but yeah. You know, lost 28-23 at NC State. That's the same NC State team that blew Florida State out. 38-20 over Louisville, a little more impressive than Florida State. Beat Miami by 13. Beat Virginia Tech. So overall, better results than Florida State has had against common opponents. So they've played better than Florida State this year. They've been better than Florida State this year. 27-7 against Clemson. Now that was at Boston College, but you know, they went toe to toe with Clemson and made Clemson earn it. Now Clemson was clearly the better team. But unlike Florida State, Boston College didn't just quit and allow Clemson to run away with that game. They made them earn it. So this is going to be a game where, you know, Boston College is going to come in and they're going to be the dudes that they claim to be. And Florida State's going to have to go out and earn it. So anyhow, I'm not actually sure what to expect in terms of predicting this game, but we'll get to that later in the show. One thing that I think is important that everybody remember is what happened last year when these two teams played. And that was the game where Florida State quit. 35-3 at Boston College. You're talking about a team where Boston College just bullied Florida State. They embarrassed Florida State last year. Now, the question is, is that something that this team is going to remember? Is that something that they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder and say, you know what? Not only are we fighting to make a bowl, but we remember getting bullied by this team, and them making us look silly last year. Or are they going to come in, lethargic and apathetic and whatnot? I don't buy that this team's going to come in lethargic and apathetic. I think there are a few players that might, but those are the same guys who are front runners who. Are willing, more than willing, to be apathetic when things aren't going their way at any point. But I think the players on this team do not want to be the ones to break the streak. So they're going to come in and they're going to play hard, at least early. So, and that's one of the questions I got is, do you expect this team to come in and play hard? Well, yeah, I do, because I think they do not want to be the ones to break the streak. Just like next week against Florida. That's Florida. Those guys are going to play hard. The question is, are they going to play hard for four quarters? Because that's been one of the issues, has been, and again, in our Notre Dame hot takes this week, one of the things that we discussed was Corey Simon talking about, the problem with this team is it's not just that they're losing, it's that they're getting knocked out in the first round. And that's one of the critical things. That's one of the most important things in this game is going to be that Florida State needs to start well in this game. If they can start well, if this game is tied or Florida State has a lead at the end of the first quarter, If it goes into the half and it's, you know, within 3 points or Florida State has any sort of lead, then I think Florida State probably wins the game. But if Boston College is able to come out and, you know, there's Florida State gets a bad break or something like that happens, you know, there, if BC is able to get out to an early lead, this team is so fragile. This Florida State team is just so fragile. And you wonder how they're going to respond to that. Probably not well. Now, one of the things that I did like is the depth chart this week. They made some significant changes. And you could see that this is in preparation for a team that runs the ball a ton and doesn't throw it a bunch, doesn't throw it all that well. I mean, Boston College doesn't run it actually that well either. They just run it a bunch and they run at high tempo. But if you look at what they did, they basically gone to what they showed at different points against Notre Dame as their base. That's moving. That's basically getting their three best linebackers on the field at once. Which, I mean, that's a novel idea. I mean, I think it's a good idea. They, you know, I don't know what gave them that idea, but you know, it's kind of smart. And they're going big. Dontavius Jackson at the Sam, where DeKalon Brooks has been. So you go from 5'10 to 11. Right. 5'10, 190 pounds, maybe somewhere in there, 195 pounds, to 6'3, 228 at Sam. And then you move Leonard Warner, the third, at 6'2, 232 into the Mike position. So you're not getting any smaller there. And then you've got Woodby staying at the star position. So basically, you're making room for Warner at that Mike position. Now, listen, none of these backers are great. Woodby is the guy that's been the brightest spot all year, and you know that partly because as a true freshman, the mistakes he does make, you look at and you're going, okay, well that's going to get fixed, or at least it should, hopefully, if you can coach it out of him. But they've gone big. And against Boston College, that's a good idea because you don't want DeKalon Brooks to be the guy coming up trying to tackle A.J. Dillon in the hole or to take on a Boston College guard or fullback in the hole. You want Jackson to be the guy coming up doing that. And they had some success stopping Notre Dame's run there when they had those guys on the field at the same time. It's just that Notre Dame got out in front so quickly that some of the adjustments that they made in that game couldn't be seen for what they were. I mean, basically, once Notre Dame was up 17 points, it was all moot. But they made some nice adjustments in that game. And I think we'll see some Zaquandre White there, too. Now, as I said in the film review this week, I would like to see Zaquandre White actually move back to running back next year if I had my choice. But, you know, I don't have my choice. And, you know, linebacker is still probably going to be an issue. And we'll see. Anyway, White is clearly a really good athlete and, you know, is somebody that you can also rotate in there. Now, in this game, I think it might also be a good idea at times to take Woodby and put him at safety if you can against certain formations or personnel groups that Boston College is going to run in there. Now, they run at such high tempo, you can't sub much. But in some cases, you know, it may be a good idea to have Brian Burns at linebacker, like they do in the goal line situation. Put Brian Burns at Sam linebacker against specific bigger personnel groups, and stick Woodby at the safety spot if he's capable. I mean, again, the question is he capable of going back there and knowing the defense? If he doesn't, then you just take him off the field and you have Burns on there for that extra size, and then you stick Kando and you know, one of the other big ends out there, you know, Kando and Janarius Robinson out there. And you can see what they did this week too. They put Janarius Robinson as Burns' backup rather than Kando, and they're starting Kando on the other side. And that's partly so that they can have two big ends on the field at different points against Boston College, because they're expecting Boston College to try to run the ball over and over and over and over again. And that's what they do. And if Dillon's healthy, you know, Dillon has not had as many carries this year because he's not been healthy. But if you look at the numbers from last year, A.J. Dillon averaged 5.3 yards per carry, had 5.8 yards per highlight opportunity, with an opportunity rate of 37.3%. This year, averaging 5.3 yards per carry, 6.3 highlight yards per carry, so slightly better than last year. And his opportunity rate has been 42.7%. So, you know, that those numbers are almost identical to the efficiency numbers that he put up last year. So if you're looking at, you know, Boston College's overall rushing offense has not been as successful this year as it was last year. You look at their run offense, they are 98th in the country in rushing S&P, which is, you know, a lot worse than last year. Last year in rushing S&P plus, they were 25th, which is pretty good. 98th, not so good. And for as often as they run it, that's not real good. But one of the major differences is last year, A.J. Dillon had 300 carries. This year, he's got 178 because he missed some games, and hasn't played as much in some of the games where he's been healthy. When he's out there, they're still really, really good. Now, you know, again, we'll see who starts at quarterback. Anthony Brown, I think there's some doubt as to whether or not Anthony Brown is actually going to be out there. Their sophomore quarterback who, you know, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions on the year has been efficient. But, you know, if he doesn't play, E.J. Perry actually has a higher completion percentage on the year and, you know, might be a little bit better athlete. So I don't know that there's a whole lot of drop-off. You know, one nice thing is that, you know, they don't have the mismatches at wide receiver that Florida State has played against over and over and over again the last few weeks. You know, their top two receivers are 6'1". Florida State can handle that, especially with Stanford Samuels at corner. But, you know, they will throw to the tight end. Their second leading receiver is a tight end. Actually, he's got the most catches on the team, 260-pound tight end. And again, you want your linebackers, your big linebackers, to be able to cover him. So, you know, good idea to get some of those guys out there. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to handle things up front. You're going to need a better game from your defensive tackles than they've had the last couple weeks. You know, Clemson was able to neutralize those defensive tackles after the first quarter. Notre Dame was able to neutralize those defensive tackles at different points. They're going to need those defensive tackles are going to need to eat in this game for Florida State to have success. But I think this is a game where they can do that. I think, again, Boston College is as well coached up front as any team in the country. But talent-wise, Florida State should have some edge up front on the defense. They should be able to win there. They're really well coached, but they're not quite as good, not quite as good of prospects coming in. It's not quite the raw material to work with that, say, Notre Dame had or that Clemson had. So I think they can have some success against Boston College in this game because BC doesn't throw it especially well. They throw it with reasonable efficiency, but you know they're not a big play team in terms of the passing game. And you know, you look at their passing explosiveness, pretty good, 15th, but you know they're only 86th in efficiency. So you know you got to make sure that they don't beat you over the top. Keep some commitment to making sure that they don't get big plays, tackle, and beyond that, I don't think they're especially efficient. They're not going to be able to throw the ball down the field in small chunks all that well. So basically, you're aiming to try to limit the damage in the run game, force them to have to be efficient on third down in the passing game. I think you can stop them. They're 107th in the country in third and long percentage. So there's some pluses here for Florida State to be able to stop them defensively. And I think it's set up to be a pretty ugly game because BC plays defensively in such a way that they don't give up a whole lot of big plays. And they're certainly very good against the run and not giving up a lot of big plays in the running game. That said, defensively, in stuff rate, in terms of stopping ball carriers at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage, BC is only 100th in the country. So they're not the kind of defense that Florida State's played the last few weeks in that regard. Now, you know, with how Notre Dame was willing to let Florida State run, especially once they got the lead, that changed things a little bit. But Florida State should be able to have some level of efficiency in the running game against BC, even though, again, Florida State's running game is not very good. It's terrible. In the film review this week, we showed that, well, they were able to block Notre Dame at different points when Notre Dame had 5-6 in the box, but there were so many busts. There were so many problems where, you know, this guy is supposed to be here and he's just not. And then that leads to a negative play, and then you're in bad leverage, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. Can't do that against BC either. They're going to line up. They're going to try to take away all the big plays in the passing game. They're going to force Florida State to run it on them and to be consistent executing up front. And that is a bad recipe for what Florida State does. Now, most of you know that I've been pushing the quota idea for Tomorian Terry, that you have to throw so many deep to him in this each game. And in this game, I think that quota is a little lower, probably around 4, because of how they're going to cover deep. But you still have to take those shots. I think this is a game where Trey McKitty and DJ Matthews in particular need to be the guys that really do their work in the middle of the field. DeAndre Francois is going to need to throw in the middle of the field with some accuracy and get the football to those guys with opportunities to make some plays there off of some play action in some RPO situations because of how BC is going to defend. There's going to be some opportunities there because they will not let those guys let you go over the top on them. So you take those opportunities to those guys underneath a little bit more, and particularly in the middle of the field, and see if you can get some matchups against their linebackers. And fortunately, that's where Florida State has some quality. It's just a matter of whether Francois is able to get them there. Now, if you want to talk about somebody who's quality and is going to be able to get you into the best possible situation, should be talking to Luis Marquez if you need any real estate in the greater Jacksonville area. One of the best realtors I've had discussions with. The guy knows his stuff. Certainly, if you're selling something, you want him to be the one taking the pictures. Links and information in the show notes. But yeah, thanks to Luis for continued sponsorship of this show. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered podcast, and he'll give you some extra goodies in the process. Also, so let's go ahead to the special teams part, and before we wrap up. And special teams are a concern because BC has been very good in special teams, and Florida State has not. Special teams, BC is number 4 in the country in punt return efficiency, number 31 in kick return efficiency. That's not good. Florida State's going to really need to pay attention. And punt returns, punt coverage for Florida State is going to be a situation that may determine this game. It's going to be critical. Because their punt returner, Michael Walker, 14.8 yards per return, has a touchdown on the year. They need to make sure that he doesn't get loose. Guy can really run, and he's got that right knack for it, where he's able to return. Pretty good kick returner too. But a very good punt returner. Now, that said, on the flip side, when Boston College punts, they've given up some returns now. They're only 108th in punt efficiency. And kickoffs, they've given up some big returns. Their kickoff efficiency is 1/16th. So that's, you know, weakness on weakness there for Florida State and kick return game against Boston College's against Boston College's kickers. And you know, with how Boston College punts it, DJ Matthews may have some opportunities here as well. But you know, special teams is, I think, going to be a critical part of this game. And you know, we'll see which team. My suspicion is that the team that wins the special teams battle in this game is actually going to be the team that wins the game, because I think in terms of offenses, it's probably going to be pretty ugly on both sides. So that said, you go to the third phase, and hidden yards, special teams probably wins this game. Turnovers, I think either team, if the team that's +1 or wins the special teams battle wins this game. The team, you know, the team that turns it over more than the other team is probably going to lose. because this game, in terms of how these teams are going to play, probably that close. So I'm going to go ahead and get to the score. But my prediction this week, of course, brought to you by Garage Makeovers. If you are in the South Florida area, in the Broward or Palm Beach County area, give Nathan a call. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered podcast and that you need some help getting your garage together to make sure that everything is as it should be and that it's perfectly organized and that you're able to maximize that space and be able to use that for your cars and for all the stuff that you want to store. Nathan can take care of you there. Give the biscuit a call. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered podcast. So as far as my prediction here, I have gone back and forth for like 4 days on this. And I'm not comfortable either way. I think I'm going to default to the quarterback situation being a little in flux for BC and Dylan's health being a little bit, you know, he's still not 100% healthy. I think I'm going to take Florida State to win the game and have a chance to play Florida for bowl eligibility in this game. I'm going to take Florida State winning 20-17 in this game. I think a key DJ Matthews punt return and just a couple plays are the difference in this game. I think it's going to be ugly, but I think Florida State wins it. I mean, I'm just going to ultimately, if it's that close, if I'm, you know, basically 50-50, I'm going to take the optimistic route here. I think it's pretty close to a 50-50 game. And we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But we'll go ahead and wrap there.
As always, I want to thank my sponsors, Louis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida, and Garage Makeovers, the top-rated garage remodeling company in South Florida. I also want to thank the supporters from Patreon who are above the Secure the Bag level. That would be Hector Cartagena, Dan Alvarez, Keith Cheney, Neil Cook, and Bert Bertoldi. Thank you all for your generosity. Definitely helps keep this going and helps make those film sessions possible. Many thanks to all of you. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.